Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Oh man, you guys, this episode was intense. We get introduced to an iconic character in the Batman universe. Enter Martha Kane, and she is bringing some drama with her, plus a crazy death we did not see coming. We're going to talk all about it starting right now.
TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome back, guys. This was a crazy episode.
Oh,
Two crazy episodes. Yes. I'm still like trying to boggle my mind around it. You know? Like, why? But we're going to talk all about that. I'm your host, Benny Adams. And before we get into it, I want to introduce you to my amazing co-host. But first, I completely forgot. I need to tell you my nickname because we have like nicknames now, right?
That's right.
So I'm Benny, aka Bennyworth, and to my left is Anaïs.
Anaïs, I don't have a nickname.
We still need to figure out a nickname.
So my name is not nickname friendly.
So this is what we're going to do. You guys who are watching us right now, give us a comment and let us know what you think her nickname, Anaïs's nickname, should be.
It's spelled A-N-A-I-S, so try. Give it your best
shot.
Wow,
that's a tough one.
Okay,
that's
a tough one.
We also have to my left, Ben, a.k.a.
Rob Ben. And I love
I
Ryan.
Forgot.
And then shout out to my friend Ryan. He came up with that idea. Ryan, I love you.
I never thought about that. Rob Ben. I like it. And then Miss Comic Con. She is a lover of all DC. Miss Sherry, a.k.a. Sherryworth.
Hi.
I remembered that one. We have a lot to talk about, you guys, including some juicy news and gossip, some predictions, and we have a special giveaway we're going to talk about later in the show, so that is going to be fun. But first, let me get your guys' thoughts on this episode. What did you think? Or both of these episodes.
I mean, usually I'm always trying to see everything coming, right? But that was very unpredictable. A lot of that stuff, a lot of these scenes, I was like, oh my God, really? Why did they do that? But then it makes sense if you like keep watching and then it all makes sense at the end. I think the storyline and how they wrote the script is very well done, to be honest.
Oh yeah, it's really good. Major twists, and I love the character's growth.
Yes.
It's giving so many shades to the DC Universe, Batman, The Dark Knight. Yes. I was like, what?
Oh my God. I feel like every episode keeps getting better and better, and the more I watch this show, the more I love it. So keep it coming. Don't cancel it. Don't cancel it. Just saying.
Yeah, dare I say, this is probably one of my favorite shows out right now.
For me, yes.
It's so good. Brilliant. And then for those of you who are wondering, if you're still a little bit confused about what Epix is, it's a cable channel that you have to subscribe to. So you can watch it on your TV, you can watch it on your phone, but that's pretty much how you can watch.
But there is an option for people who don't have cable like me, that if you still want to watch it, you can actually just subscribe, sign up on their website.
Right.
That's how I signed up and to watch the
show. I did
show.
That too, actually.
It's pretty cheap. It's only like $6 a
right.
month.
Yeah,
so
it's reasonable.
Cheaper than cable.
And
so,
they have 30 days free.
Oh, okay, so there you go. So there's some options for no cable people. So I think it's cool because other like different like networks on their website, you have to have a cable provider, but Epix, you don't need one. So
if you have friends,
the more
who,
you know.
Exactly, I love that. If you guys have friends who don't have Epix, tell them they do not have an excuse and tell them to subscribe, because this is an amazing show. They don't want to miss it. But let's get right into it. Let's start off with Martha Kane. I was very surprised that they introduced her so quickly. I was thinking that she was going to be introduced. That was great. I was thinking she was going to be introduced in like season two or season three, not this early. And so what did you guys think? Were you guys surprised that she was introduced so early?
Not really. I think, I mean, at the end of the day, we all knew and we all kind of know who Alfred is, right? Mm-hmm. So at some point, we have to basically get introduced to the Wayne family somehow, right? So I kind of saw that coming, to be honest.
Yeah, I also, like, didn't think it was going to happen so soon, but I'm glad it did because she's freaking awesome.
Yeah, and her acting is great, by the way. Yeah. I love it.
It's really good, and I like how she said how she wanted excitement. And I'm watching the two episodes, and I'm like, is this the excitement you want? Oh. I think it's a little too much for you.
Right.
Yeah. A little too much.
And I like how there's still some mystery involved with her. You know, we still really don't. We still don't know where she's from, which I am very interested in finding out. I'll save that for predictions about where I think she's from. But yeah, so we start off with she meets Pennyworth, and she has a job for him. She wants him to rescue in this guy who created this crazy computer,
right?
And the people, like, they don't want them to get it out, and so they arrest him.
Didn't they arrest him because of homosexuality?
Right. That's and true, that and homosexuality. Mm-hmm. What I really liked about that is they're talking about homosexuality in the 60s, which was kind of not. It was kind of looked down upon down there.
I was very surprised by that. I didn't see that coming, for example. When I basically saw this, like, big building and this guy was on the bed sleeping and then the other one is coming in, I was like, okay. And then he was kind of naked and he looked at him. When he saw his butt, he looked at him and was like, why is he looking at me like that?
Right.
You know? You know, I was thinking that for a second, but then it makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. But if I understood correctly, the Raven Society, they want what this guy was basically like developing, right? Mm-hmm. This kind of the first computer, which was like kind of huge almost, like a whole building.
Right.
And the No Name League wants to basically try to not have them to have the computer at the end of it, right? So that's what I understood. And I like the scene, by the way. I have to say that very quickly because that was kind of mind-blowing to me, the idea. I would have never thought about it. Mm-hmm. When the plane was trying to land, they basically get rid of the lighting, but then he comes up with the idea to drive with the trunk.
Oh, my God, that was amazing.
And I was like, man, it was brilliant.
Yes.
That was really interesting. Damn.
That was lit. Like, seriously.
That was lit. It was literally lit.
Oh, that's what Americans say. It was lit. It was dope.
And one thing that I really loved is when Martha says, oh, this is what they call a computer, because they don't know what a computer is and what it's like the 60s and
it's what your son's gonna be using a lot of in the future,
which is our phone now.
Right exactly.
Your great grandson would be using it in the future.
Exactly.
So I want to talk a little bit about Ian and Sam's relationship. I really like how they touched base on this because it kind of reflected a little bit on Esme and Alfred's relationship, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But what I got from their relationship is pretty much a lot of people don't want them together because they're not used to seeing two men together. And that scene where Alfred is looking at them and they decide to leave together on the plane, you know, I feel like Alfred was thinking, These two people, no one wants them together. Mm. And for Alfred, it's just Esme's father who doesn't want them together.
Yeah.
And so he's thinking, you know, these people are brave enough to stay together, even though, like, the entire, all these people don't want them together. Why shouldn't I? Like, what did you guys think about that?
No. Yeah, it's a great comparison.
It was illegal. So it was illegal.
Yeah.
Which is also why he decided to go to America with them. But of course, it was illegal in America, too. Mm-hmm. And so I thought it was really interesting because it is a reminder of how young Pennyworth is in this.
Yeah.
And how 26. He's just seizing the day and he's not letting anything stop him from being with the person that he wants. And I also think his being 10 years in the army or the armed forces, whatever it was, I think he saw homosexual people who happened to be in the army and he was just sort of used to it. And he's a live, let live type person anyway. So I really like that.
Yeah. And I was just thinking about it. So he's 26 in the show. Right? So that means when he was in the army for 10 years,
16.
And he just came out, he was just 16.
He was a baby.
Can you go to the army with 16?
I think at one time during World War II, I know people would falsify their age records because they didn't make you have the same records that you have nowadays. Gosh. And of course, for certain wars, they were so desperate to get people to sign up. They kind of knew, but they kind of didn't really acknowledge it because they wanted people to sign up. But I think in England stuff, you're allowed to do things a lot younger than they do in America.
Drinking.
And,
driving.
And what I've found very interesting, always this kind of back and forth between his military time and then the present time. And there's this one scene that I wanted to point out with this one guy who's trying to give orders to the people, but no one is really taking him seriously because he's kind of insecure in how he's talking to people. You remember the guy? And then Pennyworth comes into the picture and is saying something like, or is giving him like a female name. I don't know if you remember that scene, which for me was kind of an idea for from the scriptwriter to basically tell them, hey, back in the days, maybe Penny was not really thinking very much about homosexual people, but now seeing these two guys flying to America, now he's probably changing his mind.
Yeah, that's a very good point,
He's kind of changing his perspective because now he's in kind of the same situation with Esme that he also has one person in his life that doesn't want him to be with someone he loves.
Right.
So I really like that comparison going back, and then he comes in and he says something like, hey, Miss Dolly or whatever. He says something to this guy who's so insecure with the weapon. And I really like that they did that.
Yeah.
Does it make sense what I'm saying?
It makes sense. Alfred, I don't think, respects anyone, whether they're male or female, who he perceives as being weak. Because his mom is not a weak female. She's a pretty strong... I mean...
We saw it in the first episode.
She's nothing to play with. And I think for him, it wasn't so much that he was against someone for being gay. It was more like... You need to man up. It's sort of like whenever he interacted with any of the women in charge, once he realized they were in charge, he immediately respected them.
Good point.
But if he thought that he could walk over him, he's like, I'm just going to walk over
him. I never got the sense that like Alfred was like homophobic or anything. Like to me, like he acted like it was like nothing. Like Ian and Sam's relationship. So I kind of like that because like back in the day, I wouldn't think that people would be so tolerant, but he seemed pretty tolerant.
I mean, gay people have been around forever.
Because I feel like in general, like the character that he portrays is very strong character, right? I feel like Pennyworth is kind of a guy. He's never really out of control. He always knows exactly what he's doing, right? But when Martha Camp comes in, I feel like at the beginning, their kind of relationship is like Martha is trying to tell him what to do.
Right.
You don't need to know what I know. Just do what I want because I want you to give that job.
Right.
But then when we saw the third and fourth episode right now, I feel like it's kind of changing over time. I don't know if you feel Martha is realizing, oh, he knows what he's doing. And at some point, I think Pennyworth has taken over her control.
Right.
And tells her what to do. And I think that's why she also falls in love with him, because she understands, oh, wow, he's good.
It's definitely...
I don't think she's in love with him.
She's just attracted.
She
wants
to hook up with him.
She's attracted to him right now. Really? Let's not get ahead of herself.
Maybe I'm too...
Who doesn't want to hook up with Pennyworth?
I still believe in love. I still believe in love.
It's that accent.
Is there still love outside, people? I need love.
The smile.
Well, it's a love that, fortunately, will never happen. Because we would not have Bruce Wayne, a.k.a. Batman.
That's true.
But before their little quick hookup, after their first successful mission, Martha wants to work with Alfred again. They have a second mission where they need to figure out the name of the new leader of the Raven Society. So they go on this mission, and we find out that Alfred doesn't want... He'll do this, but he doesn't want guns involved. What did you guys think about that?
It's where Batman gets it from.
Yes. No, it is, though. Because if you guys have noticed... I have never seen Batman use a gun. I've only seen Batman hold a gun once, and it was during, I want to say it was a Batman Beyond animated movie, and it was when the old Bruce Wayne was holding a gun. He never shot it, but I think that was the only time.
But isn't it kind of interesting when you think about Penny, like Alfred, this security guy, right? You never see this guy with his own gun. I think he doesn't even has a gun. He's using one gun at the airport because he's trying to figure it out, right? But usually he doesn't have any guns.
Right.
And I feel like what they say in the show is very interesting. I think a lot of military people, even today, everyone who went to the military, I feel like they saw stuff they would never talk about. It's just their own kind of little secret. But they have to figure it out with their own mind and have to move on with their lives.
Right.
And I think a lot of people would react exactly the same way like he does. Hey, I did crazy stuff in my life. I kill people with weapons.
Right.
And I never want to do that again. So that's why I don't have any gun in my life anymore, even that I'm a security guard right now. And I respect that.
Yeah, I respect that too. See, America, you can do it without guns. Just saying. Okay, never mind.
Well, it's like... It's like the part where Martha's talking about her father and how she was saying he was in the military. And how she... I love it.
Ryan, you love that stuff, huh?
And she said, you know, my father said he never had nightmares. And Alfred said, oh, well, he's lying. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, these guys, they go through so much. And they go through PTSD afterwards. So I really like how they did touch on that.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. But so let's fast forward to... they are successful in finding out the person who was the new leader of the Raven Society. There is like this big action-packed ass-kicking. And then we get to a point where Martha and Alfred are alone. And next thing, they're making out.
Which I thought, please, no. And it happened. I'm like, really?
And they were showing little teases of it that it might happen. Ooh. Like the first one was during, they were in the train.
Oh,
they
she's both a lucky got woman. Up.
And, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That's when he's really lucky. And then the way she was, what made me think that it might happen is the way she was looking at him when he was helping her with her wound.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, I've looked at guys like that, so I know.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, thank you.
Were you guys upset about that, or
I was kind of surprised about that mm-hmm. he did it actually, because I had the idea that he cannot do it because the first thing that he's thinking about is about Esme, right?
Yeah, so I thought it was going to be more like himself, you know? Like the attraction was just more from her, like not him at all. So I was a little surprised that he seemed kind of into it a little bit.
But not at the end, he was totally in it. Excuse me.
Well, no, there's attraction, but I think it was the emotional. Surviving death, and mm-hmm. he like had a moment where he sort of forgot and got caught up in it, but the minute he came to his mind, he's like, nah, it's, I'm all about my Esme, mm-hmm. and he like backed up because she was still trying to like shoot her shot, and he's like, yeah, I'm gonna go.
But, I've read that actually, like, when two people go through something kind of like that together, it brings you together and it can create some kind of attraction. So it's also like heat of the moment type of thing. So I wasn't that surprised that it happened, but I was just like, oh, this could be an awkward conversation if like Martha like lived longer. Awkward. She had ever like confessed to Bruce, like, hey, Bruce, just to let you know, like this happened between me and Alfred.
And so like before we saw the clues, I had no idea. But then we started seeing like the little clues. I was like, okay, they're gonna hook up. And I don't know how I feel about it. I like that it's a little twist that they gave us, so I think that's cool.
I think it depends on your definition of hookup. Let us know in the comments, because a kiss is not a hookup.
Okay, but it was a kiss. It was like full on making out. Yeah. It wasn't like a little peck.
I don't know. I would call it a kiss, but not a hookup.
I just see Melody Soto is saying Alfred can't kiss another woman, so I think Melody's pretty upset about it.
I'm with you, Melody.
Also, she isn't dating her future husband or anything, so she's a free spirit.
Very true.
Like I told you, some people are like, well, I'm single. you might not be, but hey, I'm single. I'm going to do what I want.
You're not married yet. No, I'm just kidding.
I have an open relationship.
Well, you know who's not single? Esme and Alfred. And they're about to get married. Alfred finally goes to Esme's father to get his approval. And it goes completely. I'm loving this right here.
Thank you, Ryan.
This brings so much to the show.
Ryan, you're killing me. I love it.
And Esme's father is just not into it. He's pretty much saying, you know, your father is a butler. We learn that Esme is a heiress. And he's saying that it will never happen. And if Esme does, in fact, marry Alfred, then he will disown her.
Yeah.
And so Esme's not having it. And surprisingly, Alfred is telling Esme that she needs to respect her father. Like, what did you guys get from all that?
I mean, I appreciate the sentiment, Alfred, but like, if your dad's a jerk, like mm-hmm. you don't have to respect him. You know, so I kind of disagreed with
it. I didn't expect that Esme has such kind of a bad connection to her dad. I didn't see that coming, to be honest. I love the scene, by the way, like with the dad and Alfred in the room. This mm-hmm. was a very powerful yeah. scene. The mm-hmm. acting was on point. I feel like how the dad increased the tension over time, so the actor, how he did that, was amazing.
Right.
Because at the beginning, he comes across like this very kind man, thinking about her daughter and everything. But at mm-hmm. the end of the day, if his daughter is not doing what he wants her to do, he's just like just inherit her or whatever.
Well, I mean, right. there was a reason. Like, I feel like I wasn't that surprised that the relationship was bad, because she did say, or like, I mean, she was like preventing the meeting from happening. She didn't like really want true. Him that's to true. Meet her that's dad. True. So it's like, obviously, he's probably not the greatest guy.
Right.
I mean, she's landed gentry, so class conscious wise in England, especially at that time, that wouldn't have been acceptable.
Yeah.
And also, she obviously is rebellious because she decided to become an actress. An actress at that time yeah. for someone from her class mm-hmm. was not okay. She was supposed to get married to someone who was titled, or at least a landed gentry person. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really interesting, and her rebellion is interesting, but it's sort of funny how he said a couple of times, "Are you okay with being of my class?" Because it's unlikely he'd go up to where she is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's going to fall down.
Right.
Yeah, what I got from it is I feel that Esme's father doesn't really care. I know he cares about her, but I don't think he really cares about her, what she has to do when it comes to her relationship. I think he cares more about his status her status. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I got from that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. But what I found interesting on the other hand, though, is that when Esme kind of moves into Alfred's like family house, right? Mm-hmm. That the dad changed his kind of whole attitude a little bit. It was very interesting to see the character arc of the dad, of Alfred's dad, was amazing to mm-hmm. me. So at the end, she basically said, "Yo, your dad is a teddy bear."
Right.
And at the end, I felt like he was just trying to pretend the hard dad mm-hmm. and trying to show his dad what's right, his son was right or wrong.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I think he's actually a nice guy. I kind of liked him at the end, the dad. At the beginning, I was like, "Hey, what is this kind of a dad?" Right?
I felt kind of bad for like his wife, though. It's like, wait, why aren't you like that with me?
That's
like,
true. I know.
You'd want this young hot thing to come in. Now you're like all and nice.
And I think the reason with that is Esme felt that she needed to somehow get Alfred's dad on her side. Yeah. So she put more of her attention on the dad. She knew the mom didn't have a problem with her.
Yeah.
So I think that was the main reason.
Good strategy.
Yeah. A very, very smart woman. But unfortunately, all good things have to come to an end, I guess.
Why?
So, Esme she's pretty much, she's still having nightmares, and she's still scared about that incident that happened to her in the first episode. Mm-hmm. So, Alfred tells her to stay with her parents. She should have listened, because mm-hmm. she decided to go back to her house, and someone breaks in, strangles her, and she's dead.
Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Were you guys shocked?
Beyond
shocked. I didn't see that coming.
Wow. I did not think it was going to happen that.
Who is it, guys? Who is that person?
Yeah, let us know your guesses in the comments.
And the thing is, I knew something bad was going to happen to her, just not this soon.
Yeah.
I thought she would at least stay for like another season or two, mm-hmm. and then something would happen to her.
Yeah.
But this was like really off the
bat. But now we know why Alfred is single when he's raising Batman, so at least we know that.
Yeah. True. But before we get on to anything else, we have a very special announcement that we want to tell you guys.
Of course. As always, guys, we first of all wanted to say thank you to all of you guys for always joining us, always dialing and always watching us, obviously. Yeah, to really making us like the ESPN of TV talk, right? We're really proud of that, right? We're like a family here. We like doing that. We like sharing our opinions with you guys. So please always write comments, right? And also, I have to say that I also say that on the other show, give us 5 thumbs up. Right? 5 people. And also 5 stars. 5 thumbs up, right? So, and yeah, thank you so much for doing that. We're going to continue, right? We never stop. That's how we do it. And yeah, thanks. We really enjoy it. Really appreciate your support and effort. Thank you.
Yeah. As always, thank you guys for tuning in. Thanks for watching. Always leaving a comment. And yeah, we're going to continue to give you great content.
Can I just say one more thing?
I always want. Oh, I was at one more too.
I have like little notes about the show that I really want to point out.
Go for it.
Okay, first of all, okay, I'm going to try and go quick. Okay, first of all, I loved in the beginning of the fourth episode. That scene at the opening scene with the two parents leaving the theater with the young kid, you know, that all reminds us of, you know, it's a little foreshadowing, obviously. And, you know, Martha and Thomas finally meet in this episode. And I thought it was really interesting that in the same episode we see them meet, but then we also get foreshadowing about their demise. So I love this show. That's one of the reasons I love this show. They do little things like that. So
it was really cool. So we're going to go to Bette Sykes and Peggy. So she's staying with her sister Peggy, and she's not having it. She's getting restless, and we find out that she has a little crush on Esme.
Yeah,
which that was a shock to me. I knew there was some type of friendship there, but I didn't really see that coming. Like, did you guys see that?
I had no idea. I'm so good at reading like body language and stuff. I saw it. I was like, she likes her.
Yeah, I remember that one scene where they both are dancing with each other.
Yeah,
right? And that was not a normal dance between friends.
Yeah, I don't dance with my girlfriends like that, or like talk to them like that. No.
I thought she was just like, she loved dancing with people.
So that means Benny was you dancing with your friends like that?
I had no idea. I had no
She's
clue.
A little obsessed.
Yeah. No, I saw it coming, yeah. I wasn't really surprised. I was surprised about the action in the kitchen at the end with her sister. That was kind of a surprise to me.
What did you guys think about their relationship together, Peggy and Bette?
Bette's ungrateful as hell because Peggy went through a lot to rescue her
from
the gallows.
Right. True.
And I don't know what Peggy does for a living, but it, A, pays really well, and B, I don't think I want that living because it looks like it's a bunch of old people and she does BDSM or something.
Yeah, I was like, I still don't get
something
that.
Sexual.
I still don't get that. When I saw the guy under the table almost naked, like sitting like that, I was like, what is he doing?
Something weird. But once again, it pays really well in LA. It's expensive. And so, you know, I can't say no if someone wants to offer me money for that. But I love their interaction with each other. Mm-hmm. And it really shows where she comes from and her background. I don't know what her family did, but it seems like her family's kind of like on the money, criminally shady-ass people. So
yeah, definitely like dysfunctional. But I'm curious. I really want to see like her reaction to finding out about what happened to Esme. Hopefully we see that. She's going to be devastated. But I just want to know. I want to see that.
When Peggy was like, you know, I'm not letting you leave this house, and then we see Bette look at the knife, did you guys think she was like going to go and just try and kill her?
She thought about it, and then she's like, it's my sister, and I might get stuck to the gallows again.
She did save me.
Need to hook me up.
I thought it was going to happen. I thought Bette was just like, you know what? I don't care. I want to get out of this house. She's a little crazy.
Yeah.
She's a little crazy. Yeah. So, and then that fight scene, like we were talking about, they just went full force at it. And then, you know, the following day, it's like, it didn't happen.
Abusive family. Peggy really thought about killing her for a minute. Like,
yeah.
You're messing with my money. Don't mess with my money.
And so, Bette, she wants to go back to the Raven Society. Plus, she wants to find Esme, who is sadly deceased. Let's talk a little bit about the No Name or the No Name League and the Raven Society. What do you guys think about these two groups battling each other for power?
I mean, I have to talk about that one scene at the airport just for a second. Also talk about Raven Society and No Name League. I don't know how you guys felt about this scene, but for me, it felt a little bit too easy to get out of the situation for Alfred and everyone. Mm-hmm. Because he basically comes out with this one guy, and he basically tells him, hey, if you don't do what I want you to do, I'm just shoot him right now in front of you guys. And then out of a sudden, they go back into their cars and just leave. I was like, that was a little easy.
Yeah.
And they just left and they didn't even come back. So nothing even happened after that.
But if he killed him, nobody else knows how to make it. So.
Yeah, of course. But I was like, why would you just leave like that? Wouldn't you just try to...
Well, they were gonna come back as well. So they knew they had another option. And so I think that's why they made it that easier. Because from their point of view, it was, all right, he's either going to die or we can try again the next day. Right. And so I think that's why they made it a little bit easier.
So they had a feeling that they kind of knew we're going to have a second option the next day. Mm-hmm. But why would you think that? I was just like...
Because they shot out the lights.
Yeah, of course. But I mean, but they should... I mean, maybe I'm thinking more from a gangster perspective right now, mm-hmm. from a society perspective. I wouldn't really wait the next day or maybe just think, oh my God, they don't going to figure it out with the lighting. I could just come back.
You should be the leader, you know? Man.
You should be the leader. If you need someone in the Rival Society, call me. Right? But then the second thing that I just wanted to mention is also the scene when we are actually at the leader of the Raven Society. Mm-hmm. Same scenario in the living room when we realize that the doctor is actually the leader of the Raven Society. Mm-hmm. I also felt like that she's the leader of this society. It feels too easy now to just take over this scenario, mm-hmm. and just basically like stack her in the knee or whatever it was, and then just maybe punch her in the face, and then you just got rid of them. That's how, you know what I mean? It felt this scene.
They're just that good.
How they
played
it out.
That's
but
why. They're maybe that good.
Maybe that's from a creative perspective, my mind. I'm too
they gave
much
them a run for their money, though. Yeah. You know, yeah. they drugged Martha, and then Alfred purposely got himself captured. Mm-hmm. But I feel like they gave him a run for their money.
Yeah, they wanted to question her and figure out exactly what they wanted. And I thought it was interesting the way the leader told Martha, you don't know your group the way you think you do because we all torture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're all doing this. So
and that brings up the question, like, who's really good? Because the Raven Society is saying the No Name League isn't good. And then the No Name League is saying the Raven Society isn't any good.
They're both bad. So, they're different sides of the same coin of anarchy.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's definitely going to be interesting to see, you know, who comes out on top.
Who's the baddest one?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Who's the worst of the worst?
Yeah.
But let's get on to our special segment, which I am looking forward to. So the last after show, we talked about our favorite actor who played Batman mm-hmm. over the years.
So, yeah, today our special segment is going to be who was our favorite
yes.
Joker. So many awesome ones to choose from. So let's start with Benny. If you want to start first.
Benny where?
So I'm going to go with the 90s animated series, The Adventures of Batman, Mark Hamill. He was the voice of the Joker, and I remember just waking up watching this Saturday mornings and I was in love with it. Mm-hmm. And just all the voice actors for these characters were amazing.
Cherry?
Mm.
I had to choose Mark as well because he's the voice that I've known for years for all my video games for Batman. And as he said himself, it's just like Hamlet or any of those great stage roles are meant to be reinterpreted by actors for a long time to come. He keeps saying he doesn't want to do it again. And then he's like, I get the script
does it again.
And I keep coming back.
Yeah. Ben, it's your pick.
So, I mean, it's very hard to pick for me, to be honest. I'm always in between like Jack Nicholson and Heath Ledger, to be honest, right? Mm-hmm. Jack Nicholson is a legend, right, obviously. So you saw mm-hmm. the movie, right, when he was playing it. That was amazing. I mean, this guy is so frightened. He's just scary. He's just crazy.
Right.
I mean, just look at the laugh right now. This is just kind of crazy.
Wow.
But then also, I really have to say, because when I watched The Dark Knight, right, with the Joker, with the Heath Ledger version, mm-hmm. I just did a little bit of, like, research about how Heath Ledger prepared for it. And he basically got into a hotel room mm-hmm. and locked himself up for 3 weeks, didn't talk to anyone to get in the mindset of kind of, like, a psycho in a way of what would you do if you're just by yourself completely isolated and you can see that on screen
mm-hmm.
so he was almost that person in a way, right? I mean, which is kind of very critical for actors too, I feel, at some point. You know, maybe you can, some people kind of lose themselves in it,
mm-hmm.
you know. So that's why I have so much respect for both of these actors. But if I have to go with someone, I think at the end, because of the effort, I would go with Heath Ledger.
Okay.
He definitely brought a lot of death into that character.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Totally crazy.
All right, so for me, okay, so I was very conflicted as well. I had like a three-way tie, so Mark Hamill, Heath Ledger for the reasons you said. And also I have to give a special shout-out to Cameron Monaghan from Gotham because I thought he was amazing from that scene. When he did that laugh, that first laugh,
he
I replayed that
so
scene
good.
Over and over. I'm like, oh my God, Cameron is amazing. So special shout out to Cameron. Like, you
that guy was amazing.
You're
yeah.
like the new Joker of the 2010s.
Oh shoot, yes. Big smile is
And then also now we have the Joker movie coming up with Joaquin Phoenix. So we'll see if maybe he'll become someone's favorite Joker in the future.
Have you guys watched the trailer?
Yes. Like it. It looks good.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. It's insane.
Yeah.
DC bringing on the darkness.
Mm-hmm. They are.
All right. Well, we also have a special giveaway we want to do with you guys. So a little bit about this, how to enter it. All you have to do is subscribe to our YouTube
channel.
Should
we show them what they're playing for?
Yes.
I'll be the Price is Right model.
Yes. She'll show you the prizes. I'll tell you what you have to do.
Wow.
Just subscribe to our YouTube channel. Leave a comment and tell us who your favorite Joker is, or who your favorite Joker was in the Batman universe. And then make sure you leave your Instagram handle and we will pick the winner from there.
And check
your
DMs. Don't
forget to subscribe.
Subscribe.
And then follow us.
Yes, subscribe and follow us on Instagram.
So that way when you win, you can see our DMs and your...
Right. Exactly. And you guys, these prizes are pretty legit.
Yeah.
You
get Raven Society pin.
A Raven Society pin.
Postcard.
Like,
and
I want this. So,
I'm jealous. I wish can I be in this
jealous.
Contest?
I am jealous.
Can I read what it says? The house The house had died long ago. Gone are the playful laughs. Now only ghostly signs remained, forgotten forevermore.
These are super cool. These are from Comic-Con.
Yeah, nice. And a big thanks to Sherry, because she was the one who was able to get a hold of these amazing prizes.
Is this from
prizes.
Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven?
There's someone there writing poetry, so I think it was stuff that he had made up. And then the postcard, you were supposed to send it to yourself, and I was like, nah, I'm going to save it for a prize.
Oh, okay.
Cool. All right, real quick, you guys, let's get on to our news and gossip.
Yeah, I have two crazy interesting news for you guys. So the first one is actually the Instagram account of Jack Bennett. Who plays Pennywood. I want to show that to you guys. I follow him too, but I just wanted to show that to you guys because what's interesting in our world today that a lot of people obviously also get cast on the amount of followers they have on Instagram. Mm-hmm. But if you go to Jack Bannon's account, he just has 6,147 followers.
I have more followers than Jack Bannon.
I was like, guys, that's amazing.
Jack Bannon, follow me.
You know, I actually like that. It makes him even more human. Thank you, Jack, for not having millions of followers.
I feel like that's how it should be. You should be cast on your talent, not your Instagram followers, casting directors, just saying.
And that's what I wanted to ask you guys at home while you're watching us. Please give us some comments about how you feel that people get cast also on their followers
and help
on Instagram.
Us out by following
how do you feel about that? Is that something that you like, or is that something that we shouldn't do? We should just basically cast someone
followers
based on
their... Followers should have nothing to do, because there are people who are so talented and have very little followers who should have more, and there are people that have way too many, and I'm like, why?
I think it is starting to change a little bit, because I've seen actors who have gone onto shows and they're brand new into the business and their following count isn't as what you would expect it to be. And then once they become more well known, then obviously their following count gets more.
But then we see YouTube stars who are not that talented getting shows on MTV and Netflix. So just saying, it's still happening.
Jack Bannon was on shows before too, though. So he's not kind of an unknown.
Right.
Yeah. So that's why I'm really even more surprised, right? So keep it up, Jack. Don't accept any more. That's okay. Just kidding. Do whatever you
follow
want.
Me.
But the second I wanted to talk about is also about the industry a little bit. You probably also heard of it, that Paloma Faith, who basically plays Sykes, right, Beth?
Mm-hmm.
She basically was a very famous singer already in the UK and like worldwide, basically.
Nice.
Which is very interesting. So a lot of people now say, oh my God, a singer is now turning into an actress? Really? Wow, that's not good. You know, we don't like that. So I just wanted to ask you guys in the panel, but also at home, how do you guys feel about like coming from a singing like performance or like career to an actress now out of a song?
I don't like discount that, because there's been a lot of really good like singer actors, like Keanu Reeves, he's one.
That's true. Justin Timberlake, I kind of liked his acting style, I have to say.
And a lot of people who I know, a lot of people who are in the business who are both they can both sing and act, mm-hmm. and they do pick one over the other, but you know, they're very talented people, so I don't think it's a big deal.
Me too. And then what I have to say is what a lot of people usually don't know, what people actually did before they were famous. And if you read the article when I what I showed you right now, she's actually saying, hey guys, don't worry about it. I was actually doing acting before I was singing. And people don't know that because a lot of people just see what they see and don't do their research. Even the same with Lady Gaga, by the way. Before Lady Gaga blew up as a singer, she basically did acting as at the New York Film Academy in New York.
Yeah, but I don't even think she needed to explain herself that she did acting before that.
Stop assuming things, okay?
I just like the idea.
She's a good actor. She's a good actor. Yeah. Of course. That's all that matters.
Like, some people are just, it's just natural to them, like, I forgot her name, Yolanda, I think, her first name, from Roma. That was her first ever film role, and she got nominated for an Oscar. That's okay, true. So.
Yes. I love that.
All right, so, you guys, it's
that's
time.
You got it.
Thank you, man. We appreciate it.
Come on.
All right, it is time for one of my favorite topics of this after show, predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
What do you guys think is going to happen in the next episode and just future episodes?
I think Beth goes crazy when she finds out that Esme is dead.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what she's doing, but she's going to go crazy for sure. And then, I mean, honestly, I don't know what to say, but I want to find out who killed Esme now at the end. Yeah. I'm still shocked about it. I can't really... Do you, what's your idea about that?
No, I feel like she's gonna be upset. She's gonna she's gonna like be on the hunt, like who killed my Esme? And she might actually like end up working somehow with like Alfred. He might might ask for his help to like find who killed Esme. I don't know. Because they both probably want to know that, so
I can see that.
They're gonna want to maybe work together. So
what do you think, Sherry?
I think that we're going to see more of Pennyworth Detective Agency. So we're going to see more Bazza and Davy Boy. And then...
I love this guy.
He's very fun. And I am curious to see how the family is going to react to Esme's death.
I think Bette and Alfred are going to start working together because both of these people are in love with this woman.
Yep.
So that's going to be a very, very interesting duo if it does happen.
Yeah.
And obviously, we're going to find out who did, in fact, kill her. So it's gonna be a wild ride, to say the least. But that is all the time we have for today. Thank you guys so much for joining us. I'm your host, Benny Adams, aka Benny Worth, and you can find me on all social media at Benny J Adams.
And you can find me on Instagram at More Than You Think 7.
Hey everybody, you can find me on Instagram, it's at Benjamin Schnau, S-C-H-N-A-U, and I also do the Bring the Funny show on Tuesday at 9 p.m. Check it out.
You can find me, Cher_LA, on Instagram and Twitter, and of course, before this, Talking Killjoys at 6 p.m. Pacific Time on Sundays.
And remember, subscribe to YouTube, comment, subscribe to our Instagram account, and you might get these cool prizes.
Remember Esme!
R.I.P.
Five thumbs.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only. Do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.